Welcome to Dare to Struggle, Dare to Win, a monthly podcast by the U.S. Human Rights Network, addressing human rights issues in the United States. I'm your host, Sacagawea Hall.
The U.S. Human Rights Network seeks to build and expand the base of the domestic human rights movement here in the United States, one that utilizes the human rights frame to identify the root causes of violations and to call on the U.S. government to address the realities on the ground. Part of our work includes coordinating our members and allies' participation in international processes to hold the U.S. government accountable to its human rights obligations and commitments. Currently, we're working to promote full implementation of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, or ICCPR, by educating the public about the U.S. government obligations under the treaty and by engaging community groups in the effective use of the treaty to promote human rights at home. This year, the U.S. government is being reviewed on its compliance with the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and you have an opportunity to get involved. In this podcast, we speak with Jamil Dakwar, the director of the American Civil Liberty Union's Human Rights Program and co-chair of the U.S. Human Rights Network's ICCPR Task Force. We'll also speak with Nazreena Barji, the National Security and Civil Rights Attorney at the Asian Law Caucus and co-chair of the ICCPR Task Force with Jamil. Jamil provides an overview of the ICCPR and the process, and Nazreena shares why it's important for community groups to get involved. Thanks, Jamil, for joining us. Can you start off by telling us what the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights is?
So the ICCPR is one of the foundational human rights documents that was adopted by the United Nations and so far has been ratified, accepted by 167 countries around the world, including the United States, in 1992. So for over 20 years, the United States has been party to this international human rights convention or treaty that requires the government to protect fundamental civil and political rights. And it really covers many, many areas. If you're working on immigration, if you're working on voting rights, if you're working on equality issues, if you're working on a criminal justice reform, if you're working on housing and land rights issues that are affecting minorities, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom from torture and ill treatment, arbitrary detention, really wide scope of areas that this treaty is addressing. And the United States is obligated every 4 years to submit periodic report on progress made to meet the requirements and to comply with this treaty. So this year, the U.S. Will be appearing before the Human Rights Committee. This is a committee that will be reviewing the United States compliance in October of this year. And this committee in Geneva relies on information and input from civil society, from organizations, community-based organizations, national, state, and local groups that work really on all these issues, but they have no resources to be able to get this information without our help. So the U.S. Human Rights Network created a task force that is coordinating civil society and NGO participation in this process, and you could, of course, get more information about this online at the network website.
Jamil, can you just also briefly tell us what has gone on up until now in terms of how the committee is going to review the U.S. with the list of issues and how groups have been involved so far?
Sure. So far the committee received initial information from and submissions from NGOs. There were, I think, over 70 short reports that were sent to the Human Rights Committee in Geneva. The committee used this information to form and send list of questions to the U.S. government that will be the basis for the dialogue or the review of U.S. compliance with the treaty in October. And this list was released in April. It covers about 28 issues. Some of the 28 paragraphs, actually, or questions are more detailed and cover many, many other issues. And now the U.S. government just replied to those questions. And those questions touch on issues from immigration detention and enforcement, including racial profiling and shooting on deaths on U.S.-Mexico border, the use of the death penalty and solitary confinement, including solitary confinement against children and people with mental disabilities, racial disparities in the criminal justice system, targeted killing program. It addresses the issues of gun violence, trafficking, and domestic violence. Detainees at Guantanamo, lack of accountability for torture, even NSA surveillance program, and other minority rights issues, including the right to vote. So the next thing will happen is now NGOs are working, some in coordination collectively, putting together shadow reports that will provide essentially alternative information to the committee to respond to the U.S. government report and to the replies to those list of questions. And we provided resources to NGOs that are available on the U.S. Human Rights Network website on how to do a shadow report. There will be also trainings coming up. But the important thing to do right now is to think about the areas or issues that you're working on that could be covered by this treaty, and there will be discussed during this review. And to the extent that this issue could be brought to the attention of the Human Rights Committee and lobbied so that the U.S. government will be held accountable under this human rights treaty to protect civil and political rights. So the hope is that now NGOs will submit reports. The deadline is in late August, beginning of September, and we are urging NGOs and groups to send information in as early as possible so that the committee will have the chance to review all the information. And then in October, we don't have the exact date yet, the committee will have 6 hours of a dialogue or discussion with the U.S. government where we'll raise also new questions. Some of them were not included in the original list. So it will be important, even if your issue is not on the list, to get involved, to raise those issues. Important to keep those submissions short and raise questions and also make concrete recommendations. How do you want the U.S. government policy, whether it's on the federal level, state and local level, to change so that it will affect, to change them so that there will be a positive impact on the human rights, enjoyment of human rights of people on all these levels.
What's post-review? So the committee comes up with questions to pose to the U.S. and the United States responds along with the report that it provided, you know, on its record, civil and political rights. But then what comes out of that discussion and the challenges that the committee may or may not pose to the U.S. government, and why is that important?
So at the end of the session in Geneva before the UN Human Rights Committee, the committee will issue what they call a concluding observations, essentially a list of recommendations that cover the areas that were discussed with the U.S. government. They will highlight areas of where there were positive progress made since the last time the U.S. was reviewed, and that was in 2006. They will also, more importantly, highlight areas where the U.S. has to make more progress to meet its human rights obligations. So they have to indicate specific laws, specific policies that they have to be adopted, specific programs or areas where the U.S. government has to end particular harmful policies that violate civil and political rights that are covered under the treaty. And those recommendations will be really for us a roadmap to push and hold the U.S. accountable for its obligations under the treaty. There will be a follow-up effort by us, by civil society in the United States, to try to hold the U.S. government accountable, to implement those recommendations and to continue to make progress towards the full realization of these rights, again, not only at the federal level, but also the state and local level.
Now we turn to Nazreena Barghi, co-chair of the ICCPR Task Force, to discuss why it's important for community groups to get involved with the ICCPR.
I think it's important for community groups to be engaged in the laws that are used both for and against the communities that we represent. And the ICCPR review process presents another opportunity to engage in that process of interacting with folks who run our country about what it is that they're supposed to do, what it is we think they are actually doing, and how we go about making sure that those two things match up with each other. Particularly in the context of some areas of law, I do national security, for example, you've got a lot of the federal government kind of unwilling to really engage with us on different parts of how their work affects the community members that we represent. And so what the ICCPR review process does is it opens up another venue for us to really discuss those problems, interact with decision and policymakers about how to change it, and to educate the broader community about what's going on with our communities.
Often this kind of international work is seen as disconnected from local work. Can you talk a little bit more about the need and what plan is for involving local governments?
So what we have done is we've sent out a letter that can be used to try to help local governments interact in the process. So we've given them a background on how the ICCPR review process works and sort of who within the federal government they can contact to get more information and be more involved in the process. And the reality is the norms that are contained in the ICCPR are international level norms as part of a treaty, but they really are at core about regular interactions that happen on the ground day to day in the most, you know, base sort of level of communities, cities, counties, states, things of that nature. So these rights and privileges that are contained in this treaty are applicable to the local and state governments as well. And it requires a little bit of, you know, just informing these local governments of their existence. But when you start looking at the particular rights, they're not that different in part from our own U.S. Constitution. And we see that our U.S. Constitution is implemented every day, right, between police officers and people who are being arrested and so forth and so on. And these treaties should be treated in the same manner. They need to be respected and implemented at every single level. So I would highly encourage more grassroots and local community groups to take part in the ICCPR review process. And the reason for that is that a lot of these problems, although they seem very sort of meta and at the national and international level, they really are core problems that are happening on the ground. And it's amazing what immense value grassroots groups can add to the conversation by just informing people of what is actually going on in their communities in relationship to these rights that are normally talked about in policy papers without reference to what is actually going on in people's lives and in people's communities. And the other thing is that it's actually pretty easy. I mean, the shadow reports are not that difficult to write. There are templates in place. There are the U.S. Human Rights Network provides an immense amount of support. The reports themselves can be as short as 1 to 3 pages long to just convey what is going on in your community. And it's a really quick, easy way to take part in helping to shape our rights both domestically and internationally.
The U.S. Human Rights Network will collect and combine shadow reports to submit to the Human Rights Committee for the ICCPR review. We ask that groups submit their reports to us by August 23rd. To support you, we will be hosting a training call on July 24th on how to write the report with a 10-step guide, answers to any questions, and help thinking through how to frame your work and issues in the report. There will also be an opportunity to connect with others working on your issues who want to write reports. To register, visit www.ushrnetwork.org/ICCPR July 24 training. Again, that's www.ushrnetwork.org/ICCPR July 24 training. And on September 23rd, we are having a National Day of Action across the country, both to raise awareness about the government obligations at all levels, but also for our communities to integrate this process more fully into our everyday work on the ground. For more information about the U.S. Human Rights Network's work on the ICCPR, call us at 404-588-9761. Again, that's 404-588-9761.
The U.S. Human Rights Network is dedicated to building a people-centered human rights movement in the United States. For more information about the network and how to become a member, visit www.ushrnetwork.org. We also want to hear your feedback. Get in touch with us by emailing info@ushrnetwork.org. Thanks for listening to Dare to Struggle, Dare to Win.